I haven't said anything. Wait till the end, because you may not clap yet. So I like to pray. So I wanted to offer this short prayer. Oh Lord, teach us to pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh Lord, please save us. Amen. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I wanted to start with a little joke. So what happens when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with a Catholic? Someone who knocks on your door and says nothing. And of course, I'm leading into the topic of evangelization, because obviously what Jehovah's Witnesses do when they, you know, knock on your door is try to evangelize. And the joke, of course, means that we're not really good at it per se. Susan mentioned that I have not a long time, so I want to keep this short. And so with that in mind, the picture here, of course, is of John Paul II. He was a master at evangelization. And he said this: there is no true evangelization if the name, the teaching, the life, the promises, the kingdom, and the mystery of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, are not proclaimed. So I want to take several of those and just kind of do a little dive into each. So the name, Jesus, in Hebrew translates into Yeshua, and that means he saves. So right off the bat, we know that evangelization is all about knowing that we have a Savior, and that if we love other people, that we need to let them know that they have a Savior, just like we do. The teaching, what did he teach? To love, right? To forgive, to have mercy. His life, born poor, here's the king, the king of the universe, basically, and humble, right? All about not being seen, but at the same time, someone who, at the age of 30, started to say, like, okay, now's my time to be seen, because now's my time to let everyone know why I was sent by the Father. So the promises, what did he say in terms of his promises? Well, he said that he was going to die and that he was going to rise. And I fully believe that with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind. And so that's an incredible promise, because in return, we have the promise of eternal salvation. And to me, honestly, like, you see all these deals online, Amazon has all these deals. There's no better deal than that, you know, to follow Jesus so that we can have the joy and peace in communion with him and all the saints in heaven. So the next quote is important, I think, because here's John Paul again: it is necessary to awaken again in believers a full relationship with Christ, mankind's only Savior. Only from a personal relationship with Jesus can an effective evangelization develop. So I love this quote, because the word awaken, a lot of us humans walk around, you know, we're sleepwalking, right? We're numb to so many things. There's so many marketing advertisements bombarding us. There's so many lies coming in our direction. There's so many of us who believe but still have some doubts. So the point is that a lot of us end up being lukewarm. And so we need to wake up, right? It's the old, like, throw some cold water in our face, and then you're like, whoa, like, what is our role here in terms of being humans? Well, it's to seek ye first the kingdom, basically, to get to know him. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven, basically, is to have what he calls a full relationship with Christ. Obviously, all of us here have friends to varying degrees. And having a full relationship means you really get to know that person. And that only comes about through prayer, through silence, through reading the scripture. And that personal relationship, then the fruits of that comes joy, comes peace. Because if you learn how to fully surrender to the Lord, that's what he offers you in return. And the only way that you can experience that, if you follow his will, basically, is to experience it, meaning do this journey. And the journey that you all are on, I'm giving a visual here. I know that you all are familiar with this. You can see it, right? Like, there's pre-trust, you're starting to learn how to trust that God exists, then you're curious, like, ooh, who is this person? Then you start to learn how to be more open to this. I have no doubt that a lot of you all have followed this path, basically, and then, of course, you end up seeking, and then you make a decision. That's how you all ended up here. And then this starts the road of discipleship. And basically all what the word disciple means is you're a learner, you're an apprentice. You're trying to understand who the Lord is and you want to follow him. And again, that only comes with developing a friendship, which of course leads to this full relationship with him. And then as you keep going, commissioned disciple basically means like the Great Commission is go and make disciples. That's what being a commissioned disciple is. That's what Jesus said to us. That was his great command, is we need to show the love that we know exists between us and him to other people, basically, so that there's more joy in the world, there's more peace, there's more love, there's more forgiveness, there's more mercy. And then you enter the kind of territory of you know, you're a missionary. They use the word missional, basically. But you probably have heard this term from Pope Francis, being a missionary disciple, where you're on this mission, right? And the mission is to let people know who Jesus is. And a lot of it could come from just your simple actions, just being kind, being merciful, listening well, forgiving other people. And the goal, ultimately, though, is to end up in heaven. And one of the ways that we can be great evangelizers is this. I love this quote from St. Paul VI. Modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than he does to teachers. And if he listens to teachers, it's because they are witnesses. And witnesses means, here's how Jesus has worked in my life. Here's how I've been transformed through his grace. And in showing that and talking that, then people will say, well, I want some of that. Because most people may not have that same level of joy or peace or level of wholeness, which is another way of saying this journey of getting to know Jesus on an intimate, full relationship level is a journey of healing, basically. And that ultimately, hopefully, will lead to heaven, where you will be fully healed in the sense of, like, you will just be in communion with God, and there's no better place to be, because that's what we were meant to be, basically. So that's all I wanted to say, because Susan, I didn't want her to give me the side eye or anything like that. But thank you so much. I wish you congratulations, and I'll be praying for you. And I always like to end with prayer, too, to bookend things. And this is one of my favorite go-tos. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, we trust in you. Jesus, we trust in you. Resurrected Jesus, we trust in you. Amen. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you so much, Carlos. And now I ask Sister Catherine James to come forward. And her handout, it has the red writing on it. Whenever you're ready, Sister. Thank you.
Great. So I will, I didn't do slides because then I take the slides home. So I gave you a handout because you take the handout home. So I'll be pointing out like where we are on the handout at certain points. So it's like a cheat sheet that will help you kind of remember certain things that might be helpful, and then you can go on from there. So it's called Three Things That the Early Church Fathers Want You to Know As You Continue Your Life of Faith in the Catholic Church. Because right now, we're in St. Mary's Parish in 2026. But this goes all the way back to Jesus and to the fathers of the church. And there's this long, glorious, and amazingly complicated and beautiful history that you're entering into. And so I wanted to kind of bring some of that richness into this talk. So as I was listening on the Easter Vigil at St. Rita's, to the Exultet this year, I heard almost like for the first time these words, which you probably heard for the first time too. A wonder of your humble care for us. A wonder that you care for us. O love, O charity beyond all telling, to ransom a slave, you gave away your son. You've done a whole year of reading and studying and listening and talking. Faith is so much now about wonder, about mystery, and about what God is going to do in your life. It's about amazement and gratitude and worship. So let's pause here, and I invite you to kind of close your eyes for a second and to remember the pew you were sitting in on the Easter Vigil there at St. Mary's. And just to kind of retouch one moment during the Easter Vigil that you still carry within you, or that was maybe such a surprise how it touched you. Maybe it was in baptism, when you received communion, confirmation, or just walking out the door at the end. So I want you to know you've entered into a life-giving stream of liturgy through your baptism and the receiving of the Eucharist. So the liturgy, the sacraments, the Mass is like this immense stream that flows from heaven to earth and back up to heaven again. So we see this in the life of Christ who came to this earth, who gave us his life, his body, his blood, who ascended into heaven and who takes us into heaven. In Revelations, in chapter 21, the angel says to John, "A river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb." This vision is part of the chapter of Revelation, which describes the new Jerusalem and the eternal state of the redeemed. So where are we going? We're going now to the new Jerusalem. You, as you walk out these doors, are leaping forward already in your journey to the new Jerusalem. So our Christian journey, which you are now on, transfigures us into people who praise, to people who know where they're going, to people who are excited about where they're going. So the Son and the Spirit, through the sacraments and grace, invite us to participate in this stream, in the very life of God. So what would it look like for us to live like that was real? What would it look like for me, for you, to pray as if God were real? As if God was really taking my scared and eager and uncertain and my praying self into his arms every single day, much like someone takes a rescued puppy into their arms, right? There's so much care, so much salvation there. God wants us to know that we have been rescued from the powers of evil and darkness, and that we are now safe in him. We are chosen. You are chosen. You are delightful and beautiful because God delights in you. So the Easter Vigil is over. OCIA classes are almost over in a few hours. You have memories and experiences and gifts that you have received in this past year. Now, it's not Susan Gray. Now the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher. And he overshadowed Mary at the Annunciation, then she was to be the mother of God, and now the Holy Spirit overshadows you. And this is the most wondrous thing to be aware of as you take your first steps. It requires attention, intentionality, presence to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and learning how to pray more deeply, to love more truly, and to follow Christ more nearly. To discover, to taste, to touch the reality that everything you've lived in symbol, in ritual, and grace and gift is real and really has transformed you and truly will continue to transform you as you fall in love with the one who loves you so much. So when people fall in love, what happens, right? Eventually they begin to look like each other. They love the same things. They spend their time together. They even begin to sound like each other, right? Through the Spirit leading us, we begin to look like Christ. We begin to speak like Christ, to act like Christ. We love the things that Christ loves. And we have the same tone of voice as Christ. We think as Christ would think. And when people see us in whatever we do, they will see Christ at work. And this is your goal. But just to let you in on a secret, most of the time you won't think that's really happening. And they'll come up to you and they go like, I'm just so moved by it. And they're going like, I was really in a bad mood and I really had my toe hurt and I was late. But somehow the Holy Spirit worked through all that and they heard Christ in you. So you were at the beginning, you were at the foot of a mountain. When we made profession, we had already been going through 4 years of formation and religious formation. So it was like, okay, 2 years of postulancy, down. 2 years of admission, down. Profession, yes! And then we're told, you are at the base of a great mountain. We thought we had ascended the mountain. So right now, you too are at the base of a great mountain. And so if you want to turn to the second page, no, I'm sorry, the first page, under gift of baptism, I do have this quote on this paper. So we're going to be looking at several things that we can do to more intentionally begin to move up that mountain. So how is it that St. Gregory of Nazianzus describes our baptism and our Christian life? When he was speaking to the newly baptized in the 4th century, he said, God wants you to become a living force for all mankind, lights shining in the world. You are to be radiant lights as you stand beside Christ, the great light, bathed in the glory of him who is the light of heaven. You are to enjoy more and more the pure and dazzling light of the Trinity, as now you have received, though not in its fullness, a ray of the Trinity's splendor, proceeding from the one God in Christ Jesus our Lord. To him be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. So to be this living force for all mankind, you didn't know you were signing up for this, right? To be a light shining in the world as you stand beside Christ, you need to do something to turn on that light every day and to increase that light every day. So we need to do something every day to cooperate with the amazing work the Holy Spirit wants to do. So imagine the attractiveness of one tiny group of followers of Jesus existing in the world, and they begin to act in this way, to meet in this way, to live in neighborhoods in this way, to teach in schools in this way, to treat each other in this way, to praise God publicly in this way, as did the first followers of Jesus, and as we do today. So let's get practical. The question is, how do we live and love and celebrate this gift that we've been given in Christ every day, all day? And I'm going to give you 3 things that the early church fathers want you to know today in order for you to fully live your faith. And I want to highlight these things here that will help you in your journey of discipleship. They will be ways to sanctify the day, how to sanctify relationships, to sanctify work, to sanctify leisure, and ways in which you yourself will become radiant lights as you stand before Christ. We are now on page 2. The first one is stay plugged in. I hope everybody has good eyesight. So these are like little cheat sheets of everything I'm saying. So I'm randomly going to be giving you a lot of ideas. And there's like a few words here and there that just kind of will help you remember some of them. Okay. St. Gaudentius of Russia teaches us that the heavenly sacrifice instituted by Christ, that is the Eucharist, is our sustenance on life's journey. By it, we are nourished and supported along the road of life until we depart from this world and make our way to the Lord. Karl Rahner said, "The Christian of the future will be a mystic or he will not exist at all." So here are some ideas to get you started, and that's kind of scribbles in red there. One, have a morning rhythm of prayer and meditation. Some possibilities: use a prayer book that helps you draw closer to God, or a book of short meditations like Jesus Speaking, or read the readings from the Mass each morning and reflect on them. Or grab a cup of coffee and just talk to Jesus about your life and your desires, your fears, and your hopes. Second, the journey of prayer is infinite because God is infinite. As you grow in wisdom, age, and grace, you will find yourself needing to find deeper ways of praying, new ways of opening up your heart to God's mercy, guidance in discerning what God wants for your life. Don't stand there befuddled. There are people and books and saints and groups all over the place that are ready to be your next bridge to deeper holiness. You've just barely touched the surface now, and the best is yet to come. Next, come to Mass during the week when it's possible. Or arrange family and personal schedules so that Sunday is centered around worship and Mass. Next, get involved with your parish community. Get to know parishioners. Joining groups and ministries will make this easier. We all need the support of others along the way, and that is why we are called into the church, into the one body of Christ. Another idea is to explore the official teaching of the church. We call that Christian prayer, or there is a shorter version called shorter Christian prayer. This offers prayer with the Psalms for morning, daytime, and evening, and nighttime to help you sanctify your whole day. You can also find this on free apps like iBreviary. Offer thanks and praise throughout the day. So at meals, when you receive an inspiration, thank God. When you are awed by the beauty of nature, just say, "Wow, you painted that sunset just for me. Thank you." Praise God when the miraculous happens. Be grateful even in moments of suffering. When you're driving in the car, before you answer the phone, when you're taking a walk, just think of God. Just speak. There was Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection in his book, it's Practice the Presence of God or something like that. And he came out of the Hundred Years' War or something like that and entered into the Carmelite monastery, I believe. So, and he ended up being a cook his whole life, poor soul. And so he didn't get to go to the chapel to pray very often because he had to make the food. But he learned to talk to God about everything he was doing all day long. And so he was praying all day long. To explore different Catholic devotions and find the ones that set your heart on fire with love for Jesus, Mary, or the saints. Some examples: the Rosary, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, the Eucharistic Adoration, Our Lady of Mount Carmel and wearing the brown scapular, novenas to particular saints, the Sleeping Saint Joseph, that was Pope Francis's favorite. The Surrender Novena is very powerful. You can find it on YouTube. And the Miraculous Medal. Another one, keep holy water as a sacramental in your home. Using a holy water bottle or holy water fonts in the rooms of your house and just inside the front door is a powerful way to bless the day. we had little holy water fonts in all of our bedrooms growing up. And in the morning when Mom woke us up, she would take some and she would sprinkle it on us. And then when we went out, we always blessed ourselves with holy water. But holy water is a very powerful, powerful thing. Then last, find a Catholic community online to plug into during the day. For example, many Hail Marys, if it's still there, I think it is, on Instagram, they pray the rosary together every morning. The Eucharistic Revival is at eucharisticrevival.com, and it has a weekly newsletter on the Eucharist and living a Eucharistic life, and there are very, very many groups of this, that are like this. The second thing is keep your eyes open. And the quote for this, we have been loved with an endless outpouring of God's charity. We have become, through our partaking of the Eucharist, one body with Christ and with each other. And we are called to live in this world a Eucharistic charity that is also beyond all telling. St. John Chrysostom said, we all partake of the one bread. If therefore by eating of the same body, we all become that body, why do we not manifest to one another the same charity and become one in this respect as well? So the first Christians, we're reading in the Acts of the Apostles in the morning mass, the first Christians were visible to the world around them only because of their love for one another. And so should we be known in this way, through this same selfless outpouring of love. And finally, we are called to not only attend a mass, but to join our lives to Jesus' life, offering ourselves with him on the altar for the sake of the world. So here are some ideas to get you started for keeping your eyes open. Start close at home. Is there a relative, neighbor, or colleague that could use a visit, a meal, or help with a chore? You don't need to sell all that you possess and give it to the poor. What is often more challenging is the constant ways in which God will invite you to live this charity beyond all telling every day. And I'll give you a secret. If you ask God to send you every day someone who really needs your help, he will answer that prayer infallibly. Okay, ask Jesus to send someone into your life with a particular need. He wants you to help fill that day, and God always answers that prayer. In the countless situations in which you are already giving and loving and spending yourself, sometimes at great personal cost, for your loved ones and others, unite your love to the love of Jesus who gave his life for us. Like, lift up what you're already doing and say, Jesus, I offer my love together with yours. Take my little tiny love and make it really big by making it united to yours. And then it becomes it becomes a great light in the world. It takes only a short prayer. Jesus, I unite myself to you. May your infinite love flow through me. May I be a channel here and always of your divine love. Another idea, use language that builds up and brings together. Try to notice when your language or attitude is not constructive and might even push people apart, and begin to use phrases like, I understand how you feel, or let's work together to find a solution, or I appreciate you, I'm sorry, did I get you right? What do you think? I respect your decision. Next, notice when you are reacting towards someone with irritation, anger, frustration, fear, and rejection. We're all human, right? Ask Jesus to help you see the other person as Christ himself and to treat him the way you would treat Jesus. Avail yourself of the sacrament of confession and spiritual guidance in your journey toward holiness. Because all these human things are still in us, right? We had this wonderful experience. We became Catholic or whatever. It's still there, which is why the sacrament of confession is there. But also, you know, you can find spiritual guides who help you understand, like, why am I'm feeling angry. Like, what is it that I what help do I need to kind of work through what's happening inside of me so that I can reach out in a more loving way? And then finally, choose one of the ministries or events of the parish or diocese to be your in-person service to people in need. We can give to those who are marginalized and without in many ways, but it is super important to have some regular experience of being with someone who is in need, and to recognize that we too, in many ways, are also persons in need of someone else's presence. And then three, give the gift away. I'll turn the page. For the fathers of the church, friendship was at the heart of the gospel. It was the way to salvation and the most effective means of salvation. And really, it's your most effective means of salvation, because you are with tons of people that priests and sisters are not going to run into. So friendship is so powerful. God had taken flesh in order to befriend us, to become our friend. Jesus had called his apostles friends, right? The first Christians, in turn, spread salvation through friendships of their own. Evangelizing the world was done through one friend bringing another into the church, where both could be friends with God. That's a quote not from a father of the church, but from Mike Aquilina talking about the fathers of the church. Pope Francis said, "The world still does not know it, but everyone is invited to the supper of the wedding of the Lamb." Everyone. And then Pope Leo, "We are often preoccupied with teaching doctrine, but we risk forgetting that our first task is to teach what it means to know Jesus Christ." And from St. Augustine, "If you never turn aside from the good life, your tongue may be silent, but your actions will cry aloud. And God will perceive your intentions, for as our ears hear each other's voices, so do God's ears hear our thoughts." And so here are some ideas. Have a place in your home for prayer intentions for people who have asked you to pray for them. Add in intentions for people you meet or hear about or read about in the news or see in films, or people who just need to meet Christ. You can pray for the conversion of people who are influencing culture and changing lives by their decisions and their popularity. Do some unexpected evangelization on a regular basis. And some examples I've heard that I thought were kind of cool. One, when you shop for groceries, buy some flowers, add a note of inspiration and a promise of prayer to them, and give them to the next person in line. So the story I heard about this was like maybe 20 years ago. And so this woman regularly would do this. She would walk up to a car outside the grocery store and hand the flowers and had a little prayer. And her son was in Florida. So she's in Massachusetts. Her son was in Florida. And on the radio or on podcast somewhere, he heard a lady talking about how someone did this to her. And that was the beginning of her journey to following Jesus, et cetera, et cetera. And he called his mom. He said, "Mom, I think that was you. You're the one who does that all the time." So, you know, you can be creative about little simple things. Two, purchase religious leaflets and leave them around, or send them in Christmas and birthday cards. Another idea, consider purchasing a religious gift for children and grandchildren, brothers and sisters on Christmas and birthdays. Next, celebrate birthdays and anniversaries of baptisms in your family. Next, share your faith with your grandchildren when they visit. Next, join a ministry in the parish or diocesan group that has evangelization as its focus. A great school for learning how to share your faith, next, take classes. There are many, many free courses online and many things offered in all the parishes in this area. Read books on the faith. I come from the bookstore down the street, King Street, and there are just tons of books in there. But it's so beautiful. I often tell the young sisters, it's like, you know, it's really important not to just read all over the place. It's like, find something first that you're really interested in and like go for that. And once that begins to build up, it's like it becomes a vertebrae. And then you can kind of reach out and pull in a little church history, a little thing about what is grace, let's put some more about forgiveness. And it kind of makes this whole body of knowledge that's not just knowledge, it's what you're actually living and becoming. Befriend people of other faiths. When inspired, invite them to an event at the parish. Pray for those who are evangelizing in the parish. Pray for the priests and lay people involved in sharing the gospel and instructing people in the faith. Next, hang beautiful religious art in your home where others can see it. And next, take advantage of teachable or grace-filled moments. Be willing to be there for someone else in a difficult or challenging time, not to preach at them, but to proclaim by what you do and say, by your attitudes, by your way of engaging, that Jesus is alive, that you know Jesus is here, and that we can trust God's provident love. Even if you don't really know what to say, just be there. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton converted after her friends in Italy invited her to go to Mass with them after her husband had just died. They took off from New York over to Italy because he had tuberculosis, I believe, and then they got stuck there, quarantined, by the time they finally landed on land. In a short while, that was the end of him, he died. And so, but they had friends there, and so she was welcomed into their family, and they just said, you know, if you'd like to come to Mass with us, we're going to Mass. And that was the beginning of her finding consolation, the founding of the religious order that she did, her conversion, and that she is the one who is at the foundation of the Catholic school system in the United States of America. So, you know, just being with people, just inviting is so powerful, because you don't know what the mission is that God has for them, and you're just a seed at the beginning of it. All right, God is already working in the other person's life, and just say, okay, God, you know what they need and want and desire, just put the words in my mouth and just say a prayer and just say them, say whatever comes. And it's amazing the way God works. And finally, continue to develop your knowledge of the faith through reading and talking to other Catholics, joining groups that pursue the deepening of their faith. I know that people who have been through the OCIA program have questions and desires and things they wonder about. Sometimes they walk in the book center, bookstore down the street, and they're like, can I sign up on the thing when it says the hour for adoration? Can I just sign there? Yeah, you can. What do I do when I get there? It's like, okay, we'll tell you. We'll show you. And here's something you can take with you. You know, so you've just like tasted now as you begin to enter into these things, you're going to go like, can I just sign that paper? You know, just ask. And these are all graces of the Holy Spirit that you're receiving every time. It's like, can I do this? Can I do that? His Spirit is nudging you to go further into the mystery of your identity in Christ. So follow up on your questions of suffering and meaning, questions about Christ, questions about prayer and spirituality, questions about how to answer other people's questions. Another way to look at it, it comes down to this. How do I sanctify my day, my week, my year, and my life? Sanctify each day. Tune your heart and mind to the whisper of the Holy Spirit through practicing the prayer of the examination of conscience taught to us by Ignatius of Loyola. Set aside maybe 10 minutes a day and read a spiritual book, because that's a frequent time when the Holy Spirit speaks to us through what we read and nudges us to open ourselves more to God. Talk to Jesus all day long. Keep your eyes out to reach out to others around you, through spiritual and corporal works of mercy. Sanctify each week, clearly through the Mass on Sundays and regular confession. At least monthly is a powerful means for growing into Christ's life, confession. Set aside some time on Sundays also for charity, for gestures of kindness and presence in your family or to someone you know, so that, like Pope Francis taught us, we can begin to create a culture of encounter. Sanctify the year. As nuns, we have a spiritual year, and you can too. It begins with retreat, and it ends with retreat, summer to summer. So how will you prepare for your first anniversary as a Catholic? Can you make a day of retreat, even at home? Each year, it is a super great practice to press pause, to give your spirit space, and listen, read, pray, ponder, wonder, look back at the year. What are the big, broad strokes of what God's doing, the big, broad strokes of growth and of struggle? Go to confession, plan your spiritual growth for the next year. Like, okay, this year, I really want to focus on this or on that. So each year becomes this continuous growing. So you've received so much through OCIA, and now it is up to you to create your own plan of life going forward. This is on page 3. This is a sample that you might use to get started. So the goal is to keep your life recharged in Christ. So, our founder, he was in a farm in Italy, right, when he was a boy. So they didn't have cars back then. So they had carts, and the car, it works with a car too. And the carts have wheels. So if one of the wheels is falling off, the whole thing falls, the cart doesn't go anywhere. Same thing with a car. If one of them has a flat tire, the car doesn't go anywhere until it's fixed, right? So the idea that he was giving to us is all four wheels have to be in working order or the whole thing falls apart. So here are four possible things. You may have four other ideas, but four things that you could kind of, like in big buckets, big wheels, look at your life. So what's one or two things specifically you want to focus on for liturgy and prayer? So I gave you like 15 things. Just choose two for liturgy and prayer. Number two, community. Connect, support, engage, communion. I gave you 15 things. What are two things you're going to start with? Three, spiritual growth. You know, what are habits that you want to detach from? What are habits that you want to build? And put those under spiritual growth. And mission. The gift you have received, give as a gift. So what is like one or two things that you want to keep your eye out for, you might want to start doing, whatever that is. So that what this does is it makes kind of a tiny rule of life, because it's the same thing. If you don't have a budget and you just go into your life spending, and maybe I don't have money, I don't have money, I mean, like, nothing really happens. Can I buy the house? I don't know. You know, so this is the same thing. It's like getting things down on paper, getting a few things, and try it out. After a month, you might say, I don't like that. Change it to something else. But what you actually do every day is what will change you. And so with that, it's going to lead you more and more deeply into the endless waters of the river of life that will flow for all of us together now, one day, into eternity. Thank you and congratulations.
Are there any questions for Sister? Any questions?
You covered it well. I said you covered it well.
Oh, okay. It's so exciting. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you, sister.
Thank you so much, Sister Catherine James. Okay, let me just shut this off.